Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The second drop has happened. It's out there. It's ready. There's some actually a new shirt that didn't make the first one. You can go back there and be a part of that. But before we read our text, I know you're standing. I want to wish Bishop and Pastor Becky a very happy anniversary. 51 years today. 51 years of wedded bliss. They got married in Bossier City, Louisiana. And I doubt they knew, and the people in that room watching knew exactly what was going to be birthed through this power couple. And I want to tell them, I appreciate you. I love you, not just as your son, but as a leader here that has served under you. To watch your example when other examples have gone by the wayside, you guys have been an illustration of love and relationship, and you've been able to tell us and show us this is what a godly marriage looks like. And so kudos to you, and I believe the next decades will be the best decades in Jesus' name. And then Brother Gerald Lowe, where you at, Brother Gerald? Happy 50th anniversary to you and Miss Alinda. We love you guys. I believe you celebrated yesterday. Yesterday, 50 years. Two couples, 101 years of marriage. Young people, don't listen to divorce people about marriage. Go find one of these couples, sit under the learning tree, and take notes as fast as you can. Amen. Hebrews 11:1, here we go. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I need you to find two people right next to you close and just give them a testimony. Get your hopes up. Just testify to them. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. You may be seated. There's a lot of hope in this building. There is hope that I will not preach long, so you can make your reservation. There's hope that that promotion, that pay increase is finally going to happen this week. There's hope you're planning an engagement. There's hope that she's going to say yes. There's hope that the GOAT, Tom Brady, has one more run in him. Most of our hopes have been dashed already. But there's a lot of hope around. But unless that hope is founded in Jesus and focused on Jesus, there's really no telling what will happen. You know, I preached a message on it, and y'all pray for me in my procrastination because the book, praise God, is coming in 2022 on spoiler alert. And I preached that in 2021. But most of us hate if someone tells us the end of the story or the end of a movie. Some of you, I've never heard you speak in church until a few weeks ago when I told you I was going to give you the Spider-Man ending. And people started, oh no, and plugging their ears. We haven't seen you move or talk in church ever until I mentioned Spider-Man. Jesus didn't get you to do that. Word didn't get you to do that. Faith and miracles, but all the mention of the end of Spider-Man, and everybody's plugging their ears and please don't know. And so there's a lot of us that don't like to be. I, for one, when it comes to the things of God, show me what you're going to do. Show me your promises. Let me in on where you're taking me. Let me in on how you're going to get me to that promise, because we know that there's over 6,000 promises to the believers, so we know the end result. But hope has to be there that, God, I know what you said, and I trust you in the process to get to the promise. How many of you know the process sometimes is dirty? Mike Todd showed us that last week. Y'all didn't see that? Oh, my goodness. Go and watch it on YouTube. I need somebody for an illustration. No, just kidding. No one's ever going to answer his request for an illustration again. But it's messy. Sometimes Jesus spits in your face. Sometimes it's not like we think it's going to be. But hope will endure the process to get to the promise. That's not in my notes, but I felt led to say that because some of us are getting weary in the process because we've gotten our eyes off of Jesus, the promise, who has promised us things through his word. And now he's saying, I've done the hard part. All I need you to do is have hope, believe, and have faith that I will do what I said I would do. Hopeless versus hopeful. It is your choice. You can't be both. The devil knows if he can steal your hope, he can steal your future. When you have hope, failure is not an option. We talked last week about moving from what if it doesn't, that's hopelessness, to what if it does, that's hope, to when it does, that's faith. Can I encourage you to change the way that you talk, change your verbiage, change your declaration. Why? Because for it to change here, it's going to need to change here. And the more you say it, the more you're going to believe it. And the more when somebody says something that is contrary to God's word or his promise for your life, you're going to be able to check that and say, nope, that's not for me. Nope, that's not for my house. Nope, that's not for my marriage. Nope, that's not for my money. And so we move from hopelessness to hope to faith that when it works. Say things, if you're married 20 years, say, when I hit my 51st year of marriage. When my kid graduates high school, you say, does it take hope? Oh, in this day and age, it takes hope to get your kids through school, to get your kids to at 18, 19, 20 years of age to contribute to society. And so let us not stay in the place of what if it doesn't work, but let us move all the way to the place of faith when it works. Before there is faith, there must be hope. Hope is the main ingredient of faith. The Bible says in the 13th Proverbs, it says if hope deferred makes the heart sick. That means if hope deferred, meaning not hoping today, but you're moving hope to, well, maybe next year. No, this year. Well, maybe next month. No, this month. Well, maybe at my next job. No, this job, where you're at right now, things can change if you'll let Jesus take over. So if hope deferred makes the heart sick, then now hope makes the heart healthy. Now hope unleashes now faith. And I love this phrase that God dropped on us in the middle of last week's session because it wasn't in my notes until last week. Hope believes it, but faith demands it. Hope says, I believe God can. Faith says, no, I believe God will. And that's where hope builds a foundation for faith to stand on. If expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles, anyone that says, don't get your hopes up, is trashing your dream. Anyone that would tell you, don't get your hopes up, has evidently not talked to God like you have talked to God. Let me encourage you with this point, believer, and write this down if you need some encouragement. God does not counsel with your friends before he gives you a dream. God does not negotiate with your in-laws before he gives you a vision. God does not get the president's permission or the senator's permission or the state house permission or the church house permission before he gives you what he said he's going to give you. When God gives you a dream, it is for you. And if they don't believe it, that's fine for them, but your faith is in God. And I would run and get away from people that are hopeless and away from people that are always trashing your dream. Don't get your hopes up. So what does that mean? That means I'm here to tell you, don't invite me to your pity party. I ain't coming. Don't include me in your misery. That's not for me. Don't involve me in your drama. Save it for your mama. I am not your mother. I'm not going to coddle you. I'm not going to stroke fragile egos. I will love you. And yes, sometimes I will hug and cry with you. But while we're both crying through my tears, I'm still going to be whispering, get your hopes up. It is not over. Even though that was stolen from you, there's still living left to do. Even though they left you, there is still so much in front of you. Even though the enemy is coming at you, there is greater on the inside of you. Get your hopes up. Don't goad me into your gossip. Nobody has time for that. Get your hopes up. Get around hope-filled people. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Abraham is the father of faith. But I love this because it goes right along with hope being the foundation for faith, because as the father of faith, Abraham had to deal with hope. Verse 17 of chapter 4, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things that are not as though they were. Very next verse, who against hope believed in hope. When you take the context of the 18th verse, matching it with the 17th verse, it will change your entire philosophy and revelation on calling those things that are not as though they are. We've always said that's a faith statement. No, it's a hope statement. A hope statement says, I don't feel healed, I am healed. A hope statement says, my relationship with my spouse is not, it doesn't look right, but it is right in Jesus' name. It says, I know that anxiety is still at my door, but I know God's peace will override the anxiety. I know that God's joy, I know that depression has always been a part of my lineage, but when I got saved, the buck stopped here. The blood of Jesus is now the standard, and I'm not going to be depressed like anyone at Y, because I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. And we preachers that say those things, we get labeled as blab it and grab it and name it and claim it. You bet I'm a blab it and grab it and a name it and claim it guy. That's what faith is. I see it in my mind, I say it with my mouth, I hold it in my hand, and then I hit the repeat button. I want to encourage you, don't leave it up to chance, don't leave it up to happenstance, don't depend on coincidence, and don't depend on somebody else. You need to look yourself in the mirror. You need to walk into your job tomorrow saying, do you know whose I am? I am a child of the Most High God. I've got a God that died for me. I got a God that rose for me. I have hope that everything is going to be all right. I have faith that is going to make everything all right. Oh, that's just wishful thinking. No, it's hope in action that produces faith in action. And you can be negative all you want and stay where you're at. But as for me in my house, as for me in this church, I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Calling those things that are not as though they are. I loved it. The other night, I got up from my desk and I walked in the living room. Mandy, what are you working on? She was typing away feverishly. She said, I'm working on my next book. I said, get your hopes up. That's the New York best-selling book. I walked into Jaden's room, and before I could walk into her room, I heard her singing. And sometimes she sings just to worship, but I could tell the cadence she was using and what she was doing that she was recording. I didn't disturb her, but Tyler was in his room, and I knocked on his door, and when I went in, he had his earphones in. What are you doing? Oh, I'm working on some music. I said, that is the music that's going to change the world. When Jaden finally got done recording, I opened the door. What are you working on? She said, oh, I just made a cover. I said, that's the cover that's going to get millions of eyeballs on you and give you a platform so that every time you speak, every time you sing, millions of people are ushered into the presence of the Lord. Oh, you shouldn't fill your kids with pipe dream. All the world's trying to fill them with everything else. Don't you get on me for telling my kids they can, they will, and that God is big enough. Don't hate the player. Get on the game and do the same thing for you and yours. Let's go. Get your hopes up. I tell Mario every week, get on social media. And I'm not talking about the church social media. We got a team for that. I say, oh, the world needs to hear what you have to say. You've got word. You've been in multiple giant ministries. You've got something to say. The world needs to hear you. And he's always saying, Pastor, I'm working on stuff. I believe that every one of us in here, if we would start declaring things, we would not only change our world, we would begin to make inroads into the world, calling those things that are not as though they are. And then verse 18 says, he hoped against hope. How do you hope against hope? Who against hope believed in hope is the way the KJV says it, that he might become the father of many nations. Remember, 90-year-old Abraham has now got a word from God that you're going to be the father of many nations, and he is childless. He is in this place, and he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going on biologically in his body. He just looks around and says, I see everybody else at the retirement home, and they got their great grandkids coming in. I'm childless, and you say I'm going to be the father of many nations. Oh, man. Now he has to believe, not in faith first, in hope. How many of you remember when you were a kid and you asked for, I'll just take me, 1985, I'll take you to 4-year-old Brandon's room, 7-year-old Sean. We were dreaming and scheming in there. Oh, I want a Nintendo so bad. But you know what we said? We didn't say, I faith it. I faith that we get one. As a 4-year-old little boy, I said, I hope that it's under the tree. Because before you can faith it, you've got to hope it. Before the father of faith, Abraham is the father of hope. And you say, that doesn't have the same ring to it. That's just because you've heard father of faith preached for generations. But before there was a father of faith, there was a father of hope. God said, you're going to become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In this verse, Paul is contrasting hope alone versus hope in Christ. Hope alone versus hope in Christ. He said, the Bible says in verse 18, and the way that it says it here is, who against hope, that's a natural hope, believed in hope, that's a heavenly hope. I started off our discussion today, our topic today, saying that we have hope in a lot of things. Hope in sports teams, hope in management at our job, hope in politicians, and hope in the government. And all of that is misplaced hope. It's a natural hope that can and will fail eventually. But he said, I'm going to, against a natural hope, believe in a holy hope, a heavenly hope, a hope that is founded in Jesus Christ alone. Hope in Christ produces faith. Hope in anything else kills faith. In our last few moments today, God gave me this 2.5 weeks ago, and I absolutely love this. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, that says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, and then it gives us two descriptions of the anchor. In the King James Version, it uses two words, sure and steadfast. And which entereth in that within the veil. Hope in Christ as an anchor is two things. It's sure, which means it is strong. You know what I love about when I put my hope in Christ? It's not my strength, it's his. I don't have to worry about me breaking down. I have hope in Christ because he's never broken down. I don't have to have hope in my body aligning with it. I know that his body was crucified. His body was taking stripes on his back. His body bore the nail prints in his hands and the crown of thorns on his head. And so my hope is in what his body did, so I can believe for healing and health in mine. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that your anchor called Jesus, the hope, a hope in an anchor called Jesus, is a strong anchor that is not movable and does not change. And he goes on to say this, sure and steadfast. I love this. Steadfast means it will hold. As I've grown older and been through some stuff, and all of us go through stuff, I've found that anchor has never let me down. I've been through some hurricanes, and my boat did not capsize. I've been through some storms, and that anchor has held me. It's held me through the toughest seasons of my life. Seasons when I wanted to quit, guess what? That anchor held me. Seasons when I would have been adrift in the sea with no direction, and the anchor of Jesus held me. Church, in the room and online today, if you don't know Jesus, in the next 7 or 8 minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to meet an anchor that in a world that is topsy-turvy, in a world where the waves are crashing, you will have an always an anchor, a strong anchor, but an anchor that will stand the test of time. What does an anchor do? An anchor keeps the boat from drifting. It keeps it steady. Have you ever seen someone just kind of drift away from Jesus? We literally use that phrase. What happened to so-and-so? Oh, they just drifted away. You know what they did? They pulled their anchor. And they said, Jesus, I'm going to cut ties, and I'm going to do my own thing. The problem is, you cannot do what God has called you to do on your own. You must have Jesus, and I love Jesus. Jesus said, I'm a carpenter, and I can build your boat. I'm an anchor, and I can hold your boat. I'm the Holy Spirit, and I can set wind into those sails and take you where you need to be. Everything you need is found in the hope that is the anchor that keeps you from drifting. Hope keeps your faith from drifting. I'm on TikTok, and it's fun. It's a big waste of time. I try to use it for good. But there are so many people my age that now call themselves ex-evangelicals, and they are deconstructing Christians. I know the church hurt is real, but you're going to have to get over yourself. Just like if you cut your finger, you'd heal, you need to heal. Well, you don't know what somebody did to me. I don't know what they did to you, but I know what God did for you. And I am not in no way minimizing what happened to you, but I'm here to tell you you're going to waste the rest of your life deconstructing and blaming them. And remember, anytime you play the blame game, you've got to turn around and point that way. I've got too much in front of me to go backwards. And so my faith keeps me from drifting. I hear crazy heresy and this over here. And I watched one of the greatest preachers of our time yesterday, who got off in the 90s talking about that everybody's saved and the gospel of inclusion, and we just got to tell them. And I watched him, and I could see in his face that he was as lost as a sinner. Why? Because he drifted. Jesus was no longer his anchor. Hope keeps your faith from drifting. Hope keeps your faith focused. We need focus. We need focus. I'm ending with this. We need focus. We in our generation, we have ADD and ADHD running rampant. Those are serious issues for some. But what is more damaging is for believers to have ADD, attention deficit disorder, that we can't focus on what God has promised, who he is and where he's taken us. We can't focus for 90 minutes at church. So it got quiet. That's all right. If we can't focus for 90 minutes at church, how are we going to focus the other 166 and a half hours? If we can't focus when worship's going on, how are we going to focus when the devil's bringing everything he can to our front door or all hell breaks loose at our job? The anchor of Jesus anchors us and keeps our faith from drifting, but also keeps our faith focused. Have you ever heard the terrible expression usually used by men, the ball and chain? The old ball and chain. I like to hang out, but the old ball and chain. Show me the ball and chain real quick as we close. The ball and chain. They use these for prisoners so that they could drop them somewhere and they can work, but they could not escape because they have more weight that is dragging them down, and so it keeps them stationary. And we've always looked at the ball and chain as a negative, but show me the anchor. The anchor to me looks a whole lot like a ball and chain. It's heavy on one end. It's got the chain that it's connected to. Sometimes we curse the boundaries in our lives. And we curse the thing that God said no. What you're cursing is the only thing that is keeping you where I have called you to be. And when we talk about hope, it is not pie in the sky. It is not far away off. Hope is my ball and chain. Hope is my anchor that says, Brandon, 2020, it got a little rocky, but guess what? Your anchor held. Guess what? Your faith didn't go anywhere. Guess what? Your marriage came out stronger. Guess what? Your kids are more focused. Guess what? Your mind is on Christ. Why? Because I couldn't, even when I tried to run, I couldn't run. Even when I tried to get away, I couldn't get away. I am here to tell you, when you look at hope, it is an anchor that will cause you to stand the test of time. Tornadoes blow, still you stand. Thunderstorms show up, still you stand. Cancer reports, still you stand. Governments fall, still you stand. Economy goes out the window, still you stand. Why? Because I have a hope, and it's an anchor called Jesus Christ. What you call a boundary, I call a blessing. What you call a ball and chain, I call an, I can't believe you're down at that church 3 or 4 days a week, and you give them 15% of your money. Oh, you look at it as a negative, but that's my anchor. That's what keeps me going. I can't believe you listen to 3 or 4 sermons a week. Then you're listening to podcasts and you're reading your Bible and you're reading books. Oh, if you only knew, that's the only reason I'm still married. That's the only reason I haven't given up. That's the only reason I haven't thrown my towel in. It is not a ball and chain. It is an anchor, and it's going to keep you from what everybody else is taken out from. Pastor Beck, if you'll come, stand on your feet all over the building. It's not a ball and chain. It's not a ball and chain. Mandy is not my ball and chain. She's my anchor. You said, Pastor Brandon, you're crazy. Oh, you should see me without me. She keeps me tempered. Her love has knocked off my rough edges. You say, well, she needs to knock some more off. Oh, she's working on it. She's not something I dread to go home to. I can't wait to go home. She's my anchor. She's my anchor. I love this church. I love this church. I love Wednesdays. I love Sundays. I love Saturdays. But I love the building. I come in here. I'll be here till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. It's not work. And I get to do this. This is my hope. This is my anchor. I love the people of God. Look, Brother Warren Inman been here longer than I've been here. I've been here 40 years. That's part of hope. It's part of my anchor. Stride for stride. I want to encourage you today to get your hopes up. Get them up. But to get them up, you're going to have to realize that Jesus is the only unmovable object in your life. It's not a boundary that is cursed. It's an anchor that is praised. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you that I didn't go that way, didn't go that. Thank you that those waves took them out. But it didn't take me out for some reason. Thank you, Jesus. I look at people around this room. Look at Brother Kevin and Sister Tammy. I don't know why they're still here after 27 years. Was it 27? 26? 26? I don't know why they're still here other than that Jesus is their anchor. They said, this is my church. Oh, you say, oh, yeah, they love the church. Yeah, but the church they came to had like 163 green plants on this stage that Sister Tammy ironically took care of. The church they came to had a big choir loft and 65 choir members dressed in robes. We had 187 lights on bright. Y'all wonder how I got this farmer's tan. It ain't from mowing. It's from standing up here preaching. Because they said, lights don't matter. Haze don't matter. Praise is praise, whether it's coming from a choir or from a praise team. The preaching, the word's the word. This is where we're anchored. Don't let the enemy uproot you remove your anchor and cause you to drift. It's time to, and this is not a stay at Living Way part of the sermon. This is a stay saved. This is a stay. You say, can I be unsaved? Ask Judas. I don't know. Stay a follower. Stay a disciple. I want to open this altar right now for those of you. And this is the easiest altar call I've given all year, because this is what I want to encourage you. If you're ready to drop that anchor called Jesus and say, Jesus, right here I'm dropping, and this is where I'm staying. I'm staying in faith. Jamie, God bless you. I'm staying in